Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And he sent a post off to the network with previous shows from some time ago that are part of the topic that we're going to deal with today. But we're going to dig deeper today. And we're gonna, you know, this, and you know, when I dig deeper, I'm hard on you. So, but as many as I love, I also rebuke. That is a principle of the gospel. When you gather in your congregations, if you're gathering in the name of Christ, you're going to gather in the name of truth. You're going to speak the truth. You're going to speak the truth with one another. And you're going to challenge one another. And some people don't like to be challenged. They just, they're about feelings, about what they feel. They may have some good intentions, but they can be steered wrong by their feelings. They have to be steered solely by the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you know you're being steered by the Holy Spirit? How do you know if the Holy Spirit is guiding you, or some other spirit that has gotten within you is giving you feelings that say, do this or do that? You know, like the old cartoon where you got a devil on the one shoulder and an angel on the other. Which one is telling you, do this, no, you should do that? And for some reason, I'm hearing the music again on the radio, but I'm going to keep on going. Hopefully, they'll get this worked out, but this week, we are looking at the news and some of the things that are going on in the news. And those things that are going on in the news are actually telling us about ourselves. And if you want to know the future, what's going to go on in the news tomorrow, you need to study the past. And people are all getting ready for an election. This is an election year, 2016. And they're trying to figure out who is going to be the commander-in-chief of the United States here in America. And of course, there's events going on in other countries all around the world. And all these economies, all these societies are now tied together like never before in history. If one economy collapses, you know, it can affect all the other economies around the world. And we've had recessions before. And people come through those recessions, and sometimes they call a recession a depression. And, you know, millions of people will lose their homes, their life savings, their jobs. Everybody in the country, the money in their pocket will lose its value. But things keep clipping along. It's kind of like having an L.A. earthquake. Have an L.A. earthquake, you lose some bridges, you lose some buildings, maybe some people are killed. And everybody kind of gets together and they work on it, and, you know, they make things come back. Now, somebody may have lost everything. Somebody may have died. Somebody may have been injured. But life goes on. Throughout history, there have been quakes like the quake that took place 100 years before Lewis and Clark got to Oregon that was massive. I mean, it sent tidal waves all the way across to China and Japan. It sent tidal waves in Oregon and Washington and the Olympia, where we have huge cities now in the same place that the tidal wave came in 100 years before Lewis and Clark. Now we're talking millions of people dying, bridges, infrastructure, pipelines, gas, oil stopping, and the you know, for a large portion of the West Coast. And those events actually evidently went all the way up and down the coast. You know, could affect all the way down to California, Los Angeles, everything. Massive changes could take place in the West Coast. At the same time, we know that some of the largest earthquakes that ever took place in America took place in the Midwest on the New Madrid Fault, which could be triggered at the same time. We're not talking about these little earthquakes like seven pointers and six-pointers that caused millions of dollars worth of damage in some localized areas, San Francisco quake, Northridge quake, these different quakes that have taken place in the last 50 years. I was in some of these quakes. Buildings were destroyed, bridges sometimes were destroyed. Almost aqueducts, 20,000 people evacuated because one of the reservoirs was about to, a couple more quakes and the reservoir would have given away. Those earthquakes are nothing compared to what could happen and shake all across the country, changing the entire landscape. But that's not even the biggest disaster that could happen. More greater disasters can happen and have happened throughout history, just not in our recent history. But now, what about other events, not geological? Well, economically, we already mentioned the fact that economically you can have this massive recession that can affect countries worldwide and not come back from it, because it could be coupled with a cataclysmic event. Then we have political scenes have changed. You know, presidents and prime ministers have gotten tremendous power. You've got Merkel in Germany, who's just invited an invading army into their country that is raping and robbing their citizens. And this going on all over Europe, in Sweden. Denmark doesn't let them in, but Denmark just had somebody who was being raped by one of these immigrants, but they got status in one of the other countries. But because their leaders had signed the European Union, these people just get to walk into their country, and somebody was trying to rape a girl, young girl, tearing off her clothes, ripping at her, fighting with her, and she's trying to resist. Finally, she pulled out a little can of pepper spray that was evidently in her purse and sprayed the guy. She was losing the battle. She sprayed the guy, and that ended it. The guy went off trying to find some way to wash the pepper spray out. Not endangered lethally or in any way, but he just went off probably to try to rape again another day. But he'll just make sure she doesn't get out her pepper spray. You know, hit her or something and knock her out and then rape her. So anyway, she reports it and she's arrested. She's facing 3 months in jail because she had pepper spray. And that's against the law. And, it's against the Anti-Weapon Act in Denmark. Crazy, isn't it? She may go to jail because she... And you hear people talking about, you know, in Saudi Arabia, a woman gets raped, and she actually can go to jail. And she can't even prove she was raped unless she has four witnesses. And so it's just created a huge area. I mean, taxi cab drivers were all men, and because of the women are not allowed to drive in that country. Because of their interpretation of the Muslim faith. And now they have taxicab drivers for women. In other words, women taxicab drivers for women. Women can drive other women around. They can't drive men around. Because if they did, the men could rape them once they got them out But the taxicab drivers would get a woman in a car to move her. She can't drive. She's not allowed to drive in that country. And move her, take her somewhere, and rape her, and then finish taking her somewhere. And she can't prove it. She can't do anything about it. And even if she reported it, she could go to jail because she allowed it to happen. Of course, what allowed it to happen is the mentality of the people, the mentality of the leaders, the laws that they have. The people are legally allowed to rape one another. And we think that's crazy. Well, Denmark allows that, evidently. A woman can't defend herself. You can go in England, if somebody breaks in your house, you're just supposed to stay in bed and not get out and hope they don't bother you. You can't even go pick up a butcher knife in the kitchen and defend yourself. That's illegal to defend yourself against somebody who broke into your house and intends to rob you, rape you, murder you. You're not allowed to defend yourself in England. This is going on all over in Sweden. Thousands of women are being raped by these people that are being brought in Now, they're all not all bad, but there's enough of them that are coming in. You look at the boats, and it's just full of young men. And they're getting to do it with impunity. Of the thousands who were raped in just not even a year, 8 months, 300 of them were children that were raped. They like raping children. And they get away with it. And the people in those countries are living in fear, and their government won't do anything about it. As a matter of fact, if they do something about it, they could be arrested by their government. So it's crazy. It's insane. What you're seeing is what you've been dreaming about. You've known. You've had all the signals. People have dreamed about this, wrote stories about this, and they call it zombie apocalypse, where people are actually, you know, just a story the other day. Some kids saw this big snowstorm coming back east in New Jersey, and they went from house to house telling people that they would shovel out their sidewalks and driveways and everything during the storm. Elderly people, I mean, there's women who die trying to shovel out the snow because nobody's there to help. These guys are going around saying they're going to help, and they thought they could make a few bucks, and people would be glad to pay them. It's only going to be this snowstorm, and then they will have to go do something else. They're young men. The police said they can't do that without paying $450 to the state, you know, to the county or state, whoever it is, because they're soliciting business. It's just in their neighborhood, and they're doing it with shovels. They're not getting huge machinery or equipment. It's not a commercial operation. It's a way of helping their neighbor and making a few bucks. And it could be saving lives. Police not interested in that. Not applying any common sense. Zombie policemen. They don't see. They don't understand. How do we get to the point where so many zombies are walking around regulating people's lives and don't see it? Now, in the news also, Charles Lavoie Finucane was shot and killed. The first reports was it was a traffic stop. Well, it wasn't a traffic stop. That's a lie. If they say a traffic stop, that is absolutely not what it was. It was an ambush. They were ambushing them, supposedly to legally and lawfully arrest them. But they were extremely heavily armed. While these guys, there evidently were a few sidearms in the car, all legal in this state. And they were traveling to go see a sheriff. And hundreds of ranchers, the meetings that Finucane and Ammon Bundy were going to were having more and more support. Support was growing even in the local community. Yes, more than half the people wanted them to go home. Some of the people wanted them to go home were actually in support of what they did, but they didn't like their tactics. I think their tactics were foolish. And they were blind to that. And you couldn't talk them out of it. They were so passionate about what they were doing. And we'll talk about them probably in greater detail later on, but the reality is they have an argument, a constitutional argument, that the lands don't belong to the state. The argument does fall short eventually when you take in all the history of the state and the people and what's been going on, because and it's not the articles that about owning property that allows the government to control that property, but it's your right to contract and the protection of contract. And this is something we've talked about in the last few shows, and it's been a part of this series, so people can go look at that. We talk about it on our website at Preparing You, because Preparing You is by the people. Now, I'm there a lot of times and put up things, but we have people reviewing the information and people spreading the information, and you should be doing it too, so that people understand what's going on. And again, I say we have to study history in order to know the future. To understand the present, you have to study history to know what's going on. Why the zombie apocalypse? Why are so many people seem to be completely unreasonable? Because I see people actually, you know, hoping that that the people there at the refuge would be killed, talking about Finucane as having some sort of suicide complex. The reality is, I mean, we don't say that about a soldier who goes and jumps on a grenade and saves his buddies. It's very clear that when he was coming out of the car, he was moving away in a circle drawing their attention. They had already been fired at, according to eyewitnesses in the car, and fired at before, which is partly why they left where they had been stopped. And they had said, "We're going to see the sheriff. We're going to see the sheriff." And they believe that the sheriff is the constitutional officer. If you want to arrest them, you have to arrest them with a sheriff. And there is some validity to that argument. But the reality was that, you know, Bundy met regularly with the FBI, walked in without a gun, was surrounded by men with machine guns and flak vests, stood there and talked with the FBI. And if they wanted to arrest him, they could have arrested him any time. And the same thing with the other men. These men were all virtually very little arms with them, if any. I think there was a sidearm with a few guys in the vehicles. And they were going to a meeting of people where they could have been met in open daylight in a parking lot, surrounded by FBI agents, and taken into custody. There would have been no, you know, if anybody struggled, they could have stopped them easily. There's no reason to have a, you know, Bonnie and Clyde shootout in the darkness of the forest in the night to get these people. You could have got them numerous ways without this kind of shooting involved. They made themselves available. They weren't barricaded in. Now there are a few guys that were barricaded in. But, you know, there was a lot of the people that were there that were not good people. There were a lot of people there that were undercover people. You know, the place was crawling with undercover people. I could name you who some of them were. This is the way they operate. And I don't blame them for operating that if these men were really super dangerous or even dangerous. But they weren't all that dangerous. They have a legitimate beef. Today, another rancher in Texas is told that he can't go on his property anymore. Miners have had their land just simply confiscated through eminent domain, which the federal government doesn't have the right to do. They have to pay them for it. We show videos where the government is bragging about stealing land that's worth $40 million from two old veterans by paying them only $2.5 million for what they knew was worth $40 million. They had already been accumulating $30 million in order to pay for this, but then somehow or other they finagled it so that they could steal this land from these two guys. And the way they do it is agencies that they sick on them, eating out their substance, making it hard for them to do anything, and coerce them into selling. And they've done that here at the Molehill Refuge. They flooded land, and then knowing that they would flood land, told by the ranchers, "You'll flood the land if you do this." They did it anyway, flooded the land, and forced the ranchers to sell for pennies on the dollar. I mean, this is what they're doing. And they think it's good. In their minds, they think it's good. Zombie apocalypse. They're eating out the substance of people, and they think it's good. And there's a bill sitting on the desk of the now commander-in-chief to take a huge area and make it a monument. And when they make it a monument, 400 more ranchers will lose their land. Hundreds have already lost it. Hundreds more are going to lose their land. And it's not going to be raising food for you and the economy. They're going to turn these areas into poor areas, poorer than they already are, because the county used to be the richest. Now it's the poorest county because they've been gobbling up the land. This isn't, you know, land that was not used and set aside. You know, people just don't study. If you only watch the news, you're not going to know what's going on. But what's really going on? Because we say we're going to dig deeper. What's really going on here that's making this happen, this zombie apocalypse? Well, you have to get a permit to do almost anything and everything. And is that good? Well, most people don't care because they feel good. They get to turn on TV. They have a job. They're secure. They're safe. They're not really worried about the hundreds, thousands of people that are losing their life savings, losing their inheritance, losing, you know, their businesses, losing their ranches. Millions upon millions of acres have gone into the federal government's hand. They have gotten the mineral rights, and they are taking over this ground. And you think it's for your good, but it's actually they're going to sell these mineral rights. They already are. BLM already sells mineral rights to often foreign interests. And those foreign interests are making the money and taking it out of the country. And they have to sell it to foreign interests because years ago, the same leaders in government took down all the safeguards that we used to have to protect American businesses and created this other type of economy. International corporations thought it was good because then they could... They have just literally bled America dry until it's billions of dollars in debt, trillions of dollars in debt. And now you're about to elect another president who either the mindless people, you see the interviews that they go, the street interviews where they ask people, you know, like, when was the Declaration of Independence from 1776, when was it signed? And people say, I don't know, 1987? You know, he just said 1776, and they couldn't make it out. Ask people, what about World War II? I don't know anything about World War II. They said, do you know when it was? No. Do you know who fought Bush and Saddam Hussein? Hey, these are people who've graduated from your high schools. They have no idea what's going on. They know nothing about history. I remember years ago working with somebody at the local school fixing their house, and they were bragging about the fact they no longer teach history in school. He was bragging about the fact that the kids were sent home with the assignment of know who all the major college football teams are. That was the assignment. But they don't teach history anymore. You keep sending your kids to those schools as if they're going to learn something. And we can show you back in the 50s, back in the 30s, they altered what kids were learning in school to alter the way they think, to turn them into zombies, to turn them into mindless, selfish zombies. And now that's what you're getting. You know, all the studies show that the kids graduating from high school, graduating from college now, know less than the kids did 20, 30 years ago. Your average high school graduate knows less than a grade school graduate used to know. A grade school graduate knew more than your average high school graduate. SAT scores down are across the board all around the country. Yet more and more money is spent on the education. What's happening? Why do people know less? And there's all kinds of reasons. You can go study that out. But it's all leading to this zombie apocalypse. People do not care about their neighbor anymore. They're certainly not as much as they care about themselves. And this is to bring about your destruction. To absolutely, now this isn't some guy with a white cat deciding this, but they intend to bring about your destruction. Who does? What's really going on? What's really going to happen? We're going to talk about that when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. And then we'll talk about what you can do about it. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind, and the Lord raiseth them up that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. This is Psalms 146:8. God's love opens your eyes. It takes the scales off your eyes. But in order to receive God's love, you must be willing to see. But if you think you see already, then Christ talks about you will be made blind. This is part of the teachings that Christ gave us. Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Well, he's talking about those who think they already know. And so what we're doing in these series is trying to show you what Christ was trying to help people see. And Peter would say the same thing, that through covetousness, that you would be made merchandise. You would curse your children. You would go back and become entangled in the elements of the world. That is the cause. When we talk about contracts in the world and of the world, we're simply talking about systems and agreements where you can actually see the evidence of the fact that you're already in agreement with ideas like one purse, like eating at the table of kings, benefactors who exercise authority. And they're not really benefactors. They only give you what they take away from others. These are the fathers of the earth. These are the terminologies. And we show you the history. We show you how this applied back then. We show you how it applied throughout the ages. We show you how it applied in our times today. But it is absolutely essential that you change what you are in agreement with. That's repentance. You're in agreement with the idea that it's okay to covet. It's okay to desire what belongs to your neighbor for your personal benefit. And it's okay not to forgive. Christ's love will open your eyes, but it also will be like hot coals upon the head of those who do not want to see. They will hate it. If Christ is in you, if you're coming in the name of Christ, you need to be coming with a desire to serve, to forgive, to be a righteous individual. That is your desire. And you need to act, not just say, Lord, Lord, but actually become a doer of that word. And then His love can bless you, His grace. If you only love those who love you, if you only love those who help you, care about you, that are close to you, what grace have you? This is what it says. I want you to keep that in mind. Do not get carried away with contracts and jurisdictions and laws, etc. Keep in mind that this is about coming into agreement with Christ. And join the network. Find other people seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that daily ministration based on faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, a government that does not exercise authority but exercises love and charity and hope. And until then, peace on your house, and may God be with you. So welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So what can we do about it? How much else is going to be affected? What does history tell us? Well, you, like I said, you're in an election year and you're trying to elect a new commander-in-chief. You know what they used to call the commander-in-chief in Rome? I mean, the actual word, if you were to say it in Latin, that would be translated into commander-in-chief today is imperator. Now, if I told you, so the election for your emperor is coming up, you would say, oh, no, he's just the president. Well, no, he's not just the president. The president is the chief executive officer of Washington, D.C., of the federal government in Washington, D.C. That's what the president is. But he holds another office, which is commander-in-chief. He's the commander-in-chief of the military. And he also has another office that is called apotheos, because he's allowed to pick all the federal judges throughout the United States. I mean, Bill Clinton, one day, the Air Force One was parked on the tarmac, and he fired all the federal judges in the United States, just fired them. And then he hired them back, but I'm sure they all didn't get hired back. I never got to see the list of who was hired and who was fired. Everybody was fired, but who was hired back? And then why do that? Are they now being paid by somebody different? Is the paymaster somewhere else? They're all hired back, but by who? By somebody under his authority. Are these all administrative courts now that can get their job back under certain conditions? Well, Clinton did that, but it wasn't in the news. You know what was in the news? That he held the plane Air Force One up on the tarmac because he had to get his hair cut. That was the leading news that day. No mention hardly in the news media that all the federal judges throughout the United States were fired. So what was really going on? You don't know, and you don't need to know. It's the zombie apocalypse. You're all zombies. You just hear what they tell you and you go on. You know, and most of you don't even listen to the news. And you would think, well, that you'd probably be better off. I mean, Jefferson said that if you want to be well informed, stop reading the newspaper. Find another source. I could say go check out the internet, but you don't even know how to listen to the internet. You don't even know how to check things out on the internet, because I see stuff going on all the time that just ain't true. And so, but you need to have somebody vetting the information that's coming to you and pointing out, well, that source is not good because of this, this, and this. And that. But you know, who's going to do that for you? Well, nobody's going to do that for you. You have to do it yourself. And this is, we're getting near the key now. The source of your salvation. See, you have to care about knowing the truth. You have to want to know the truth. In order to want to know the truth, you need to want to know the truth about you. Because you're going to vet the information that comes in to you. You're going to have to weigh it against something else. You can't just look for the convenient truth. You have to look for the whole truth and provide for it. And many of you aren't willing to do that. You know, Patrick Henry was talking about knowing the whole truth and providing for it. Well, the whole truth includes the truth about you. Because, see, you're the problem. You're the problem because you're the one who vets the information that comes in order for you to get your right mind on, in order to distinguish between truth and lie. You have to see the truth about you. And you're no saint. You're not perfect. You are not seeking to know the whole truth. You have not been. You can change that. That's the only thing you can really change. Is you can start being willing to receive the whole truth. But evil is going to lurk in you. Anytime you balk at the truth that God is trying to show you, this spirit of life, this spirit of truth, this tree of life that is you. They see we've talked about this before. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge are two separate trees in the same garden. Those are metaphors for you. For your brain. Your intellectual brain is the tree of knowledge. But also in you is the tree of life. It's like an antenna system with branches and everything. It's actually in you. It's part of you because you're alive. It's in you. And it can receive information and vet that information so it knows this is true, this is not true. And it will tell you. And it won't just be a gut feeling. It will be a knowing. And that knowing we call faith. And that faith will control your actions. Most of the people, what they think is faith is tree of knowledge stuff. They read it in the Bible so they know it's true. Except lots of people read the Bible and they get different interpretations of what it says. But people say, well, but it's obvious it says this. Well, it's obvious to you but you could be in your tree of knowledge deciding that. When you're in your tree of life, you will look very much different when you see the truth. You will act very much different. There will be things that you just cannot do because faith in the tree of life, in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit of Christ, the anointing of Christ. People always talk about believing in Christ. That's believing in the anointing. If you say, I believe in Christ, you're saying, I believe in the anointing. That's what you believe in. And it's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's the oil of the Holy Spirit that you believe in. And it's guiding your action. It's probity. It's going to force you because you choose to believe in it, choose to follow it. It's going to force you to act a certain way. And we will see you acting in that way. If we don't see you acting in that way, we know that you're not really receiving the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Christ talks about what that way looks like. Over and over again, he talks about what that way looks like. Christianity was called the way. You will know them by the fruit of what they are doing. And you will know whether or not you are listening to the Holy Spirit or not listening to the Holy Spirit by what you do. What you do will tell you whether that feeling that you have is of the Holy Spirit or of another spirit that is not so holy. And this is how you vet the truth. This is how you know the truth. But you're only going to know it if you want to know it. You see, because you'll deny it. You'll say, no, it is the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I'm gossiping, I'm backbiting, I'm causing division, I'm injuring other people. But I didn't even see that. I don't see myself injuring. I'm just, I'm speaking the truth. And you'll be okay with injuring other people. Spreading falsehoods. I mean, you'll find out you were telling the falsehood about somebody that wasn't true, and you won't come back and say, oh, my goodness, I had the wrong information. You won't reveal that you had the wrong information and that you were in error, because you're not really interested in the truth. You're interested in what you look like, because that what you look like gives you that feeling. Of course, now that's none of you out there. I'm talking about other people, right? No, it's all of us. All of us do these things to lesser or greater degrees. It doesn't condemn us, but it doesn't draw us near to God. What draws you near to God is sacrifice. Giving up your stuff, giving up your comfort, giving up your pride, and immersing yourself in humility. Be willing to speak out and take the flack for what you do, what you say. The Bible is very clear. The Bible's telling us all these things all the time. Romans 2:6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. And I use Romans chapter 2, verse 6, that he's talking about according to your deeds, according to your works, according to what you do. Because it's Paul, the same guy who wrote that, you're saying, he says, we're not saved by works. Well, of course we're not saved by works. Because we can't do enough work to be saved. It's still going to always be by grace. But if you're not doing what Christ said, then we know you don't really have faith in Christ. Because if you had faith in Christ, you couldn't help but do what Christ said. You would have to do what Christ said, because your faith compels you. Your choice is whether to have faith or not. Not faith in your tree of knowledge, the information in your head, but faith in the actual tree of life that is vetting the information that you receive and showing you which information is valid and how it fits together. This is actually how it works. It doesn't work that way with the zombies. Zombies are all over there in their tree of knowledge, and they often have less and less knowledge. The average brain size of people in the world today, especially Americans, is decreasing. Statistically, they're getting smaller. Why is that? Well, there's a number of reasons. We won't go into that. But that's statistically speaking. So we're talking about numbers here. The average American's brain is shrinking. Statistically. Now, some people are actually getting smarter. but there's enough people getting dumber that we're seeing a division taking place. But Romans 2:7 goes on to say, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. What must you do to obtain eternal life? Keep the commandments. That's what Jesus says. You believe in Jesus, right? Jesus says, if you want eternal life, you have to keep the commandments. In patient continuance by well-doing. No, you just have to believe, right? That's what they're telling you. That's a lie. That is not, if you fall for that goofy, ridiculous, contrary teaching that all you have to do is believe. Yeah, well, it's true. Yeah, it's true. All you have to do is believe. But you have to really believe. And how do you know you really believe? By your fruits, by what you're doing. And you're not doing it. You're not doing righteousness. You're doing unrighteousness. So you don't have eternal life. You don't really believe in Jesus. You don't really have faith. You have faith in an idea that you've constructed or other men constructed in your mind. Because you would be doing something different. Now, we're interested in saving everybody. Providing refuge for everybody during the real zombie apocalypse. But I'm afraid if you're a zombie, we're not letting you in. And you're already being excluded if you're not following the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you know? Again, how do you know if you're following the Holy Spirit? Well, let's go on. What does it say in verse 8? But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. You know, so he's telling you that you don't obey the truth. You're not interested in the truth. You're interested in feelings. And those feelings are actually causing you to do things that are not cast up. And when that's pointed out to you, you think, no, there must be something wrong with the people that are pointing it out to you. Kill the messenger. Well, you may not want to kill the messenger, but you don't want to listen to him either. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile. Boy, that's a warning. That's a warning telling you. Now, what did Jesus tell us to do? We're supposed to come together. We're supposed to love one another. We're supposed to take care of one another. We see the first century church having a daily ministration because everybody who got the baptism of Jesus was kicked out of the welfare system of the day at Pentecost. Anybody, we see that in John. Anybody getting the baptism of Jesus Christ or John the Baptist would be cast out of the social welfare system, the Corbin system that was making the word of God to none effect because it was based on force. And John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, said it should be based on love and charity for one another. And it wasn't. They had based it on a government program where you had to pay in and they would take care of your parents and they would take care of the blind and they would take care of the indigent of your society. Through a social welfare system. That's what Corbin was. Now, it used to be by free will offerings, Old Testament, free will offerings, free will offerings, free will offerings, which, of course, is charity. The tithe was the tax of the government, except it wasn't forced. It was voluntary, and you could pay any minister you chose to be your minister in a network of tens, hundreds, and thousands, and you would pay them 20% of what you earned, and with that, you know, you might pay them more than 20%. If you're a rich man, you could afford to pay them 50%. But if you pay 20%, a rich man is going to pay more than a poor man. But everybody had to pay in. Just to step up to the table, you had to give in, you know, what is a half shekel, about a dime, every year. Just to say, I'm anteing up. I'm going to be a part of this network of tens, hundreds, and thousands. And then you were expected to give a share of everything you produced. At least 10% would go right to your minister directly. There were other tithings for the poor and for the national government at different of these feasts. But you were the government of the people, for the people, by the people. That's where that came from the Wycliffe Bible. It didn't come from Abraham Lincoln. That phrase came from the Wycliffe Bible. This is the book for the government of the people, for the people, by the people. This is what Moses preached. This is what Christ preached. This is what the early church did. They gathered together in the tens, hundreds, and thousands. A deacon was a leader of ten. That's what the word really means. It comes from diaconus and decen and all these words you see throughout the church, throughout Rome, throughout Europe, throughout North Africa. Tens, hundreds, and thousands. It wasn't until Constantine that you started getting 1,000 people picking one minister through an election process. I mean, you don't even do that anymore. What most people don't know is that Imperator, that commander-in-chief in Rome, who was in charge of the army and the navy, took an oath of office, was elected by an electoral college, and he ruled over the people. He chose all the judges throughout the empire. He was the chief executive officer of a city, Rome, a municipality, and he had a term of office. But within not very many years, suddenly he wasn't even taking his oath of office. And, of course, that's what goes on today. They're not taking their oath of office. They're not really doing it. I mean, it's all a kind of a hush-hush thing, but you're not even allowed to see it. I mean, you didn't with the last president. But it doesn't, you know, your problem is not the president. The problem is you again. I mean, I hear a lot of people want to vote for Trump. If you're going to vote for Trump, go look at a speech made by Mussolini. I think it was in Toronto or someplace? Toronto? Just look up Mussolini's speech on YouTube and watch his body gestures and then go watch Trump in an interview. It's kind of spooky. But he's the strong man. That's why people want him. And that's why people wanted Mussolini. And show it to Trump too, because he should know, because we know what happened to Mussolini. Well, us who have studied history know what happened to Mussolini. A lot of people don't even know there was a World War II. So, anyway, that's their election. What are you electing to do? Are you electing to follow Christ? Then where's your daily ministration? How are you taking care of the widows, orphans, and needy of your society? How do you take care of your parents? Do you depend upon the Corbin of the state? Do no more ought for your parents, or do very little for your parents? Are you trying to become free? Then try to come together to become a servant. Come in the name of Christ, because Christ came to be a servant, one to each other. You don't divide one another. You give to one another. You give in a network of giving, because you're not going to just help the people in your congregation, because you have no grace there. You're not going to be saved. If you're saved by grace, how do you get grace? You don't get grace by getting a little congregation and working hard to keep that little congregation together. No. You're looking for people who are seeking the kingdom, not the congregation. And those people, if they will not seek the kingdom, if they will not cast their bread upon the waters, if they will not learn to give, even if they're not giving the full amount that they should be giving, at least start in that direction. Ante up. If they will not give regularly, sacrifice regularly, then they're not coming in the name of Christ, and you probably don't want them in your congregation. Now they have some ideological beliefs that are a little bit different than what you learned in Bible school. So what? Christ sat down with sinners, publicans, prostitutes, and preached the kingdom. And we can gather with people and do the same. But as we seek righteousness, those who do not seek righteousness will fall away. They'll want to walk away. They'll want to go somewhere else. This truth thing will become too much for them. They want to be comfortable, and they're not comfortable with too much truth. They don't want to just come and lay down their lives for others, unless the others, you know, match their beliefs, what they have in their tree of knowledge, their doctrines. People said, oh, well, I've heard this week numerous times locally and in the network where people talk about man-made doctrines and Christ doctrines. If you read the Bible and you know what Christ said, that's a man interpretation of the Bible. That's your private interpretation of the Bible. Now, it may be right, may not be. I don't know anybody who has it all right. And you say, well, this is how I know, because he believes this, or he believes this, or he believes this. That's not what it says in the Bible. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruits, by what they're doing. Are they gathering with the character of Christ, to serve and to sacrifice for others, or if they don't get their way, they just leave. Oh, I'm not going to gather with you anymore because you don't believe what I believe about the law, say. I mean, it tells us about the contentious spirit who want to argue about the law. And actually, they may see that you're doing something good, and they'll say, well, I see what you're doing is good, but I don't want to support it because you disagree with me about the law. Even though I see what you're doing is good, I'm not going to support it. I'm not going to tie to what I know you're doing that's good because you don't agree with me about the law. That's a contentious spirit. By definition, I didn't make that up. You're arguing about legal matters, but you may not even have any argument, you know, because you'll go back to, you know, I feel, this is what I feel. And that's perfectly okay. You can follow your feelings, but where are those feelings coming from? How do you know those feelings are coming from the Holy Spirit? Again, what are you doing? What are these feelings leading you to do? Cause division? Has this issue, did you take this issue to the people that you disagreed with? Or did you just disagree, you know, and build this disagreement until it's a giant festering sore? Until, you know, you don't have enough humility to go back and repent? Well, you know, I don't know. Time will tell. And when it tells you, it may be that terrible day where we see tribulation and anguish that they're talking about in Romans 2:9. So anyway, let's move on so we can see more of how we can fix our own ability to vent the truth, to know the truth, to know what is the truth, to know what to do. This goes so complete. It's amazing when you walk in the Spirit. You will know where to be. I mean, right now, God has reached out numerous times to people and said, hey, don't go there. And if they had gone there, they would have been dead. Do this or you're going to die. And you do it and you don't even know why, but there isn't any time to know why, and it saves your life. That happens all the time. But people die all the time. Lavoie died. If he was listening to the Holy Spirit, he might not have had to die. I think he was a good man, but we're going to find out what you can do so that you don't have to be dying unnecessarily in anguish. We'll be back.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.